Amen. Praise God.
Love
praise God. Praise
God.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. We bless the Lord on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord our God Almighty. I am Pastor Dr. Parker from the Vessel of Honor Ministries. Tonight, we have a special treat for all of the precious people of God that are listening right now. Before we begin, we'd like to thank God for the bishop. We did hear that she is under the weather, so we're just going to pray right now for complete healing in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to bless your servant, Lord. Touch her, Lord, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father God. We ask that your healing virtue, God, will flow through her, Lord God. Every sinus infection and flu and colds and fever symptoms, Father God, we take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask that you will heal her completely. For your word said unto him that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So, Father, we just thank you for your precious servant, God, our host who is unavailable tonight. And God, we know that she is resting, and so, Father, we will continue to keep her lifted up in our prayers. And, Father, we expect miracles. We expect to hear, Lord God, that she's healed and she's back on her feet, Lord God. So just bless her right now, even as she rests, Lord God. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just wrap her in your precious arms and let her know how much you love her even the more. And, God, we just thank you for what you're about to do on tonight on this broadcast. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for your servant, the speaker on tonight, that, Lord God, the words that you have put in her mouth, God, will come forth with boldness, power, and clarity, will be sharper than any two-edged sword, Father God, and will just be medicine to our hearts, God, and to our spirits. In the name of Jesus, we just ask a special blessing upon her even now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, people of God in Radio Land, we bless God for you tonight. And we do have Pastor Ernestine Garris coming to us live out of Naperville, Illinois. Pastor Ernestine, are you on the line? Pastor Ernestine, are you on the line? Amen, amen. We haven't heard from the pastor yet. Apparently, she may be trying to call in, and we'll just wait a few more moments to see if and when she chimes in, and then we will go from there. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Ernestine, are you on the line?
Amen. Greetings. Welcome to the My King Service Worldwide Fellowship Network. This is Archbishop Marcia Karen Abrams, and we have a caller coming from 630. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome to today's broadcast. Do you have something to, are you part of Dr. May's a group that's coming on for tonight to speak? Hello? Caller from 630? Okay, maybe not. Okay, well, we're just thanking each and every one for coming into the broadcast as we wait for Dr. Parker to come on. What I will do is play a few sounds. I'm going to pray and read Psalms 91 and play a few songs and wait until Pastor Reverend Dr. Parker arrives to the broadcast. Father God, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you, Lord God, for just another day that thou has made, and as we wait, Lord God, on you, wait patiently, and we thank you, Lord God, for just, you know, your divine blessings, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, you're so worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Hallelujah. Bless tonight's broadcast, Lord God, and all those that will be at the sound of our voice as we speak your word over the airwaves, Father. Be glorified. Angels of God, we command that you protect the airwaves, north, south, east, and west, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And we ask, Lord God, that you bless us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. Be glorified in all that transpired, and fill us with your power. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 91 reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowlers and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lions and the adders, and the young lions and the dragon shall trample under feet. Because thou hast set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. We just had, and you've just heard the reading of God's holy word, and we just had Dr. Parker on the line, and I think she dropped. So we just thank God again for all that he's doing tonight in the broadcast, and I will try to reach her again. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise in all things at all times in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, as I promised you, a few sounds. Let us listen to some sounds in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, here she is. Calling in. Greetings, Dr. Parker. Okay. Hello, Dr. Parker, are you there?
This is Pastor Ernestine.
Oh, hi, Pastor Ernestine. I have Dr. Parker on the line, but I'm not hearing her. I'm going to go ahead and just have you begin the broadcast and speak until whatever technical difficulties we're having, turn around. Dr. Mays said you would be on tonight. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Well, go ahead and tell us about your ministry and how the Lord is blessing you, and I'll try to call and contact Dr. Parker once again.
Okay, that'll be great. Well, again, my name is Pastor Ernestine Gary, and I've been pastoring for 9.5 years. At present, I am overseeing other pastors under this ministry, which is Guiding Light Interdenominational Church, in the U.S. as well as in Europe. Our mission and calling is exactly as depicted in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. And that states that Jesus said, this is to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He instructed the disciples to "go ye therefore and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whithersoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Now, we are located in Naperville, Illinois, And I just want to give you some information on the church. In the event that anyone is interested in contacting the pastor, the church address is Guiding Light Interdenominational Church Incorporated, P.O. Box 311, Naperville, Illinois. Zip code is 60566, and our phone number is 630-857-9251. The email is God sent, like you sent a letter, the letter U, the number one, at AOL.com. And so, I don't know if Dr. Parker is on the line. But
yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Amen to that. So is there anything that you would like to add, Dr. Parker, before I begin the presentation of the message that God has given me?
No, ma'am, just go right ahead.
Okay, then we'll begin to pray for those that are listening all across the world. We want you to know that God has given me a message tonight, and I hope and pray that what God has given me to say will resonate in your mind, your heart, and in your spirit, and that you'll apply the lessons that should be learned from the book of Judges, speaking of Samson, that you'll learn from his mistakes, and you operate in God's calling and don't shrink back. So now I'm going to begin to pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you have done and what you're going to do for those, Father God, that are pressing in and looking to you, Father, for answers, looking to you for strength, looking to you for direction, Father God. We ask, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, I ask that you bless the listeners and the doers of this word, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and it shall be done. All God's people said, amen. Well, I'm so glad to come before you this evening. I am very, I'm just very honored just to fill in for Pastor Dr. Parker and Pastor James Parker. And I would like to introduce you to some ways in which hinder us from reaping the full benefits of God's blessings when he puts us in assignment. And I want to begin with Judges, the 13th chapter, first verse. And it talks about the children of Israel and how they did evil again, the Bible says, in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, this means that 40 years, the children of Israel were being oppressed by the enemy. And why were they being oppressed? Why were they in bondage? Because of disobedience. We sometimes find ourselves in precarious situations that we wish we had, if we had only listened, if we had only done what we were asked to do, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. And so what happened with the children of Israel, they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered them. He heard them. And he said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise up a judge that will begin to judge the people of Israel. Well, the story begins that there was a certain man, a man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren, and she could not have children. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, now these are instructions that God, that the angel of the Lord is giving the wife, just like God instructs us. When he entrusts us with something, he tells us exactly what to do with what he's given us. So he tells the wife that you want to be bear a son. He said, but beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. He said, for thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin, notice, begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistine. Now, see, God knew in the beginning when he raised Samson up that he would not do completely what he was purposed to do. He knew. That's why the word said that he would, that Samson would begin to deliver the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. God is the only one that I know that writes or sees the end at the beginning, which is why it's very good and very important for us to have the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because, see, if we have the same mind, we can do everything that God has instructed us to do because we think like him. We act like him. And we're not willful. And so what happened is Samson grew and the Lord was with him. He blessed him in his youth up until he was able to make decisions for himself. And so what happened is, Samson decides that he wants to go and see a woman. And, you know, this is a sad thing because Samson falls in love, the 14th chapter. And the Bible says that Samson went down to Timnah, or he went to Timnah, and saw a woman of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, this was a man that God had raised up, anointed, given him supernatural strength to deliver the people, the children of God. But he decides to go down to an area where the Philistines are to wed a woman that is of the enemy. Well, the Bible says, let's go to the second verse. And he came up and told his father. Now notice he went down to Timnah, but now he comes up. And he tells his father and his mother, he said, I have seen a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. He says, now get her for me. He said, because she pleases me well. And so his mother says, well, is not there a choice women here in our own city, in our own town, and among our own heritage? He didn't want that. He wanted something that was really forbidden. And so he looked at his father, and he said, get her for me, for she pleased me well. This is a terrible thing, because when you go and get something outside of what what you necessarily not have been raised up to get, but when you have something in mind that is something different, not good, forbidden, that you want to take on or invite yourself into, and then shuck or shrug those things that are good for something that is filthy, unclean, forbidden. I think at that point, before you do anything, you need to pray, regroup, rethink, and understand the calling on your life. So what happens is, he went down to talk to the woman, pleased her well, and Samson decided to marry her. This is going into the 10th through the 14th verse. And the marriage feast was really, it lasts, oh, sometimes several days. He loved this woman. And so Samson decided that he was going to put forth a wager on a riddle. Now, the long and short of it is that he put forth this riddle, and the men that were there at the wedding feast, they wanted to know what the meaning or what the answer to the riddle was, because Samson had slain a lion. And in the lion, after the lion died, inside the carcass of that lion was a beehive that had honey in it. Now, the Nazarite vow was that, one, you don't drink any strong thing. Two, that you don't go near any dead body or anything that's dead and unclean. And then three, you don't put a razor to your head. That was the Nazarite vow. And that vow usually lasts sometimes until that vow was satisfied. But in Samson's case, his vow was until he died. So what happened is he took his hand, scooped that honey out, and he ate it. But what's much worse is that he would go into an area and among a people wed a wife of whom he was supposed to destroy because of the oppression and the harsh treatment of the children of Israel. Now, I want to explain something to you about the children of Israel, and then I'll get back to the marriage and what happened during the feast. The children of Israel were becoming very much like the Philistines. They were intermarrying. They were doing things that were not holy, and they were becoming complacent with their attitude. They saw things happening, and they didn't care about the oppression. They didn't care about their brother or their sister and what was done. It's almost like, que sera, sera, whatever it shall be, shall be. And, you know, there's nothing that's supposed to happen in this world that we should allow if it's not good. In other words, we have the power and we have the authority to come against anything that is not like God or that should not happen. That's our heritage. That's our right. And we're not exercising that. And the children of Israel were not exercising those powers because they were under oppression. They were oppressed because they were disobedient. They were disobedient because they wanted to be like other people when God had called them out to be a different people, just like God has called us out to be different. We're different. We're a royal priesthood. We're of a different generation. We're just pilgrims here, aliens here, until Christ comes for us. But in the meantime, we are to occupy until he comes. We are to be in our, I want to say, in our mission, in our purpose. We are to be in our anointing, and that is to bring those that are not saved, those that need to be delivered, delivered. We need to bring them to Christ. We need to pray, and then we need to spread the gospel. It's very simple. But this didn't happen with Samson. Samson was full of himself, And as a result of him being full of himself, he decided that he was going to shrug his responsibilities, and that was to defeat the Philistines, to annihilate them, I would say. But he didn't do that. So at this marriage feast, when he married this girl at Timnah, because she pleased him well, the Bible says, he put forth a riddle. And the riddle concerned the lion that he slayed, what was in the lion after the body decayed, and what he was able to scoop out of his hand. Well, the wager was if they could, the 30 priests or the guests, if they were able to get the answer to the wager, then what would happen is Samson would have to give them 30 changes of clothing. And if they didn't guess, then of course they had to give Samson 30 changes of clothing. And in those days, the 30 changes of clothing were linen garments. And linen garments were considered very expensive Sunday best clothing. They were very expensive. Well, it just so happened that the visitors, the 30 men, said, listen, if you don't tell us, told his wife, Samson's wife, if you don't tell us about the riddle and the answer, we're going to kill you and your father. And so she got scared, and she wanted to know the answer to the riddle. And Samson finally told her after many times of inquiring and really nagging him. So he revealed the answer. And then what happened is the wife decided to tell the 30 men what the answer to of the weight of the riddle was. And Samson got upset. He left the marriage feast, walked about 38 miles to slay 30 men who had nothing to do with the Philistines or his assignment. Now, this already tells you that, one, Samson did not have any regard for his birthright or his calling. He didn't have any fear of God. And he was disobedient. And he decided, and he was a very vengeful man, very angry. He needed to really have anger management somewhere along the lines here. But what happened is he killed these 30 men and took their change of garment, and he brought it back to the men. And then he left. Well, after a while, he decided that he was going to go back, and he was going to visit his wife. Well, it says here in the 15th chapter, first verse, it says, but it came to pass a while after in the time of wheat harvest that Samson visited his wife with the kids. And he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber. But the father of the bride said, no, you can't go in. He said, verily I thought that you were not satisfied. You hated her. He said, therefore I gave your wife to your best friend. Isn't that terrible? Best friend. Now, a best friend would not take a wife of a friend without at least letting them know, listen, well, what are you going to do with her? Well, that wasn't the case. So what happened was Samson got upset. He was really upset. And so this is what happened. Verse 4, it says, and Samson went and caught. Now, this is how vengeful he was. He figured, well, since the father gave my wife to my friend, then I'm not going to be guilty getting back at the Father. So what he did, or whoever was there at the feast, he said, this is what I'm going to do. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrand and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the tails, the two tails. He said, and then he set the brands on fire and let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shock and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. Then the Philistines said, who done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnah, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. You know, you see, we can't be vindictive. We can't do tit for tat. The Bible clearly tells us that. The Bible clearly tells us that if anyone has done us wrong, he says that we are, in a sense, to turn the other cheek. Now, what we have to do is not necessarily turn the cheek and let them slap us or abuse us, but we're to forgive them and not take that thing to heart. Because situations like that will eat at you like a cancer. You can't be vindictive. You can't do tit for tat. And this is what Samson did because of a woman. And usually all fights, all arguments, all destructions, nations are brought down because of a woman. We have to be very careful where our affections lie. We have to be very careful in whom we are loyal to. And we have to be very careful in whom we align our lives with. Very careful. The Bible clearly tells us that we are not to be unequally yoked. We're not to be unequally yoked to a unbeliever. We're not. And so with that said, Samson decides to go back up to where his people are in Zorah. Now notice he's going back up. He went down. Now this is just the start of his decline. Now the Bible says that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get up. Samson did the right thing by going up to where he was or where his family was. But what happened is the Philistines wanted to know where Samson was. And so it was told that Samson is here, and we want to get him, and we want to take him, and we want to destroy him, and we want to kill him. So while Samson was hiding out, the Philistines had come up, about 3,000 of them, and they said, we are going to destroy Samson. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. And so they went to the head person, and I'm paraphrasing this, that, and they said, where is Samson? He says, we want to kill him. And so he says, well, we'll deliver him to you, which they did. And Samson went toward the Philistines, but he saw a jawbone of an ass, because Samson was not going to give up easily. Even though he was bound by his tribesmen, or you want to say his people, instead of his people saying, listen, Samson, you're our deliverer, you're our helper, what we'll do is we'll fight with you because we know that God is with you. We'll fight because, you know, there is strength in numbers. But that didn't happen. They were cowards. And so they turned Samson over. And as a result, Samson said, well, I'm not going to go quietly. He broke loose from binding him, got the jawbone of that ass, and he slayed 1,000 of the Philistines single-handedly by himself. single-handedly by himself. Now, you'll find that in the 15th chapter, 18th verse. Well, actually the 14th through the 18th verse. And then he was tired, and God miraculously allowed water to be in the hollow of the jawbone of that ass, yeah, that he could refresh himself. Now, you know what? Samson judged Israel for 20 years. And in the 20 years, you would think that Samson would know better. You would think that he'd get it. But each time, he was brought down by disobedience, by being angry and vengeful, by being the kind of man that was desirous of strange, lewd women. The second woman that he fell in love with, she was a harlot. And she loved money, and Samson loved being with them. And so what happened is they were together and they were being intimate. And the Philistines heard about where Samson was. And they thought, well, I'm going to surprise Samson. And we're going to get him, sneak up on him in the early morning while he's tired of lovemaking. But whatever incited or inspired Samson to awake early and leave at midnight, he left. God spared him. He left. And he left early before the Philistines could get him. But when he left, he took the city gate and the posts that were anchored into the ground. This just goes to show you how strong Samson was. And he carried the post and the doors or the gates of the city uphill some, I don't know how many miles, but uphill single-handedly and set the doorpost and the gate on the top of the hill. Well, the Philistines were really upset. But you know something? This is what I ponder. Samson did not have any problem saying that he was the judge or the servant of God, the anointed one of God. He had no problem with that. And I don't see how he could be so conflicted, and I won't even say conflicted because he wasn't grappling with any thought of having intimacy with people that were strange and forbidden. But he had no conflict with it. It was okay. And it just tells me that Samson had a seared heart, a seared conscience. He had no feeling about honoring the assignment that God has put on him. And you know what? It's just like us. We have to honor and take to heart what God has called us to do in our ministry or whatever ministry God has given us to assist in. We must be obedient in what God has called us to do and not take our assignment lightly. We can't do that. And as a result, that's what Samson did, very lightly. You know, many times we are placed in an assignment and we decide that we do not want to operate or work in that assignment anymore. We tire of it. And as a result of our tiring of it and our heart is not in what God has called us to do, what we do is we get sidetracked and we decide that we're going to do something else, at least something that we think we like doing. And we're pleased with it. And as a result, when we finish what we're doing, instead of doing what God has told us to do, when we're finished with what we want to do, and we hand in our project, or we say, oh, it's finished, now ready to go to the next stage, what you've worked on, what you've conceived to do, aside from being obedient, what you have done is not really recognized or accepted to anyone that would even take an interest in it. In other words, you wasted your time on something that could have been perfected or could have been accepted because you will have completed one, the assignment that God has given you. And that assignment would have led to the desire or the heartfelt, achievement that you wanted to do. You see, the Bible says that we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says that all other things shall be added unto you. Now, that means that we have to occupy ourselves with what God has called us to do first. And then whatever project we have or we think the other fields of interest that we think we want to be involved in, somehow God will allow what he has told us to do to segue right into what it is that you want to do. But we don't do that. Some of us, we cast our pearls before the swine, so to speak, and we're hoping that they will know what to do with it. And all of our hard work and all of our hard effort is for naught. For naught. Now, Samson, he fell in love with this next woman, and that is Delilah. Delilah was a temptress. That's what her name means. And so what happens is, the Bible says in the 16th chapter, the 4th verse, and it came to pass afterwards, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lord of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that Satan roams this earth like a lion, like a lion. He's not a lion, but like one. To and fro, so he's going back and forth, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we have to understand that the lust that Samson had for these strange women, they were like demonic spirits. Spirits, just roaming, just seeing who he can pick up, just inside of him. But see, no one really understood. I don't even think his mother and father understood that Samson's character in being attracted. I wanted to say a male whore because really that's what he was, but I'm just trying to be kind. He was attracted to these uncommon women, unsavory women, that God would use his desires to seek vengeance himself against the Philistines. So with this woman named Delilah, the men came to her and said, the Philistines said, you know, entice him. Let us know where the secret of his strength lies. And if you do, he says that every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So that really equaled up to, I believe, 28 pounds or something like that of silver. And that was a lot of money in those days. And so Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies. Let me tell you something. The devil is going to pick at you and keep picking at you until he finds your weakness. That's why we should rise up early and pray. That's why we need to put on the whole armor of God. That's why we need to fast. That's why when the enemy comes in and tries to attack us and tries to beat to brainwash us and beat us down with lies and deceit that seems practical and seems like it's common sense, but it's a trick. If we don't defeat the enemy with the word of God, you won't have anything. You'll be so batty in the head, you won't know if you are coming or going. And that's why the Bible tells us if we resist the devil, he said that he shall flee. That's the word of God. We've got to resist him, and he'll flee. How do we resist and how do we fight the enemy? I'll tell you, with the word of God. We say, devil, you are a liar. You're the father of lies. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So I command and decree in the name of Jesus that no harm shall come to me or nigh my dwelling in the name of Jesus. You tell Satan, I rebuke you, and I rebuke those words, and I send them right back to you, void, with your mission unaccomplished and the assignment canceled in the name of Jesus. That's how you whip the devil. You give him back what the word of God says about you and who God is in you. And when you use those words, the enemy has to flee. So what happened is Samson decided to tell her all the different ways in which he might be bound. Well, the long and short of it is this. Samson ultimately told her. He said, if you cut my lock, he said, a razor's never come to my head. If you cut them, and I think there was about 7 locks. He said, you cut them. He said that I will be as any other man. I'll be weak. Okay, and so he cut. Well, first of all, she made sure that he was nice and sleepy. So I would imagine she gave him wine and maybe put a little potion in that wine. And he drank it and fell asleep on her lap. She called one of the Philistines in, and they shaved his head. They cut those locks off. She said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he thought in his mind, well, I'll do like I did it before. I'll shake myself, and I'll run. Well, that didn't happen this time. The anointing left him. You know, sometimes we think we have a lot of time to do what God has called us to do, knowing that God has given us a set time to complete the assignment in order to be advanced, to be blessed, and move to another position, or to do whatever God has called us to do that is even greater than the first assignment. But what happened is that anointing left. And Samson was taken, bound, and instead of him defeating the children of the Philistines, on behalf of the children of Israel, he was grinding mill in the barnyard or whatever you want to call it. He was grinding mill, and they gouged out his eyes so he couldn't see. They bound him to whatever it is, that grinder, and he was working for the Philistines. That's a sad thing. We don't want to be in bondage and something that one has held us captive once before and then returning to that same vomit or that same situation, because that's what Samson did. Those 20 years, he kept returning to the same kind of life. And then he became the servant of that which enslaved him and enslaved his people. So what happens while Samson is grinding the mill or the grain in the mill? His hair starts to grow back. And then they were having a big festival in the Colosseum. Thousands and thousands of people were there. Samson's hair is yet growing. Well, they decided, the I would say the priest and the emperor and the king and all the other people that were there, the very popular and very important guests that were there in the stadium. They said, you know what? Since we have this festival, we want to be amused. Send for Samson. They brought Samson out. Young lad took him by the hand and led him. And Samson said to him, listen, will you lead me between the two columns of the Colosseum or the temple? So the young lad led him between the two columns, and they were the major beams that held up the structure of the Colosseum. And Samson said, Lord, and I'm paraphrasing this, but this is what my imagination thinking that he said, Lord, he said, I'm your servant. He said, I'm crying out to you. Give me the power and the strength to defeat the enemy for the sake of the two eyes that were gouged out. Isn't that something? Even you know, knowing that he's about to die, because he said, Lord, I want to die with the Philistines. He says, but hear me. He says, let me gain this strength. Be with me so that I can defeat and I can kill these Philistines because they gouged out my two eyes. Not because they have oppressed your people. Not because I'm sorry and I've done wrong and I know you say vengeance is mine. I will pray, saith the Lord, and I deserve to die with them. And if this is my penance, then sure enough, I'll take it. Forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry. You think he would say that? But those were not his thoughts. That was not where his heart was. His heart was bent upon vengeance. I want to tell the listening audience, if someone has done something to you, whether it was repeated over and over and over again, one, get out of their company. Two, don't allow that thing, whatever it is, to cause you to become vindictive. Seal your heart where you can't be reached or won't be reached by the word of God, where your mind will not reach out and remember and your heart recall what the Lord said about vengeance and that it was his. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the same situation as Samson, doing tit for tat, vengeance for vengeance. Don't do that, because the enemy is looking to sift you as wheat at your weakest point and in your weakest areas, like Samson. He's looking to destroy you before your assignment can be completed. I urge you, don't allow the enemy to cause you to give up and to lose that which your hands have wrought. Your work is important. Your assignment is important. You must put God's work before your pleasures. He must come first. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We must acknowledge God in everything, even in our anger. We can be angry, but the Bible says sin not. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And nobody can repay your enemy like God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us distinctly that we are to pray for our enemies. Why? Because they're going to need it when God gets through with them. So I want to urge you, don't allow the enemy to trick you into losing your salvation. Samson was between the two pillars, the two beams. God honored his prayer. He had faith enough to know that God was going to hear him. And as Samson pushed those two beams, one with the right, one with the left, God gave him that supernatural strength where those beams moved away from the foundation of the ground, and also supporting the Colosseum. And the Bible says that the Colosseum collapsed, and in that destruction, that Samson killed more people in his death than he did when he judged all Israel for 20 years. We would never want to go out like that. We want to, at least when we go out, we want to go out with a legacy. And that is that we were faithful to God in all of our assignment. We were honorable in all of our deeds toward men and unto God. And that we had the mind of Christ in all that we did. And the good that we did was to benefit our fellow man and not ourselves. You find many people today, they're selfish, they're pleasurable. All it's about is me and how can I get mine. Regardless of who they have to step on, regardless of who they have to sell out, regardless who they will not stand up for or speak up for or speak the truth on their behalf. We've become a very selfish people. But God clearly tells us that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, not man, he said, all other things shall be added unto us. All other things. And that means anything that you desire, anything that you want, God will give you. I have to say that I'm a product of that. And because I'm a product of that, I can tell you with affirmation that whatever I've asked God for, he is faithful and just to deliver to me, to deliver it to me. And he'll do the same for you. All you have to do is be about his business. Do the right thing. Don't look and see what everybody else is doing and what they're getting away with and why certain things have not happened to them while they're doing wrong. Let me tell you something. They look like they're getting away with it, but they're not. You reap what you sow. You plant an apple, you're going to get an apple tree. If you sow a bad seed, you're going to get a bad harvest. You reap what you sow. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to the brass knuckles of what you're going to have to reap. And I will tell you this. Reaping sometimes a bad seed does not necessarily come back the way you sowed it. It comes back harder. So don't be like the children of Israel, stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed. Don't be like them. David ended up having to defeat the Philistines. He had to finish the work that Samson was supposed to finish. Don't leave your work undone. Finish it. Stay with it. See it through and see what God will do for you. I hope that you've enjoyed this message. It was more of a talk and an insight of a man or into a man's life who was anointed, ordained, and set up, empowered by God to deliver his people but he didn't do it. He put aside his commission, his assignment, and he chose to seek worldly pleasures. He chose to seek his own pleasure and his own desires, which caused him his life. You mothers who have children, and you raised them up according to the word of God, and they've come from a good home, you've done all that you could do for them, I want you to know, don't take it to heart if you feel that they have not turned out the way you've raised them. Sometimes children who come from a very good home decide at some point in their lives that they're not going to do or be or act like their parents have raised them or taught them, instructed them to act. They decide that they want something else. It's not your fault. We all have to give an account of our own decisions. And we have to work out our own salvation. That's what the Bible says. Work out your own salvation. But you know, when you pray over your children, and as you have raised them and you've taught them the word of God, those prayers that you have prayed will not come to naught. Those prayers will be answered. I want to encourage you. I know what I'm talking about because I have raised 3 sons. And my sons are in their 30s now. And the 3 sons that I've raised, I've taught them when they were little, 2, 3 years old, how to pay their tithe and offering, when to pay it, how much to pay. I taught them the word of God. I played the tape recording of the Bible and Scripture while they were laying down at night, going to sleep, rising up in the morning, getting dressed for school. They heard the word of God. Now in their 30s, 2 married, 1 soon to be married, eldest having children, 5 of them. He's raising his children. Hello, somebody. He is raising his children just like I raised him. So you see, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. The Bible says, raise up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, the Bible says he will not depart from it. So take solace. Know that your prayers that you have prayed over your children, God will honor. In due season, they will be honored. I don't care how low that person has to go. God is going to raise him and her up. I don't care if that girl is out on the street selling her body and doing drugs. Ultimately, God is going to give her a mind or him a mind to look at himself. And they're going to cry out to God. And God is going to save him. God is going to save her. So I want you to keep that in mind. The Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous, they never die. And God's ear is always inclined to the call of his people. He said his ear is not heavy that he can't hear. He said neither is his arm waxed short that he can't save. God knows how to reach your family members. He knows what he needs to do to bring them around. So you don't worry about it. You just keep praying. And you start working out your own salvation and start operating in your own field. Whatever that field is, you operate in that. And see if the Lord doesn't bring those children home. Now, what I'd like to do is call those to salvation. Those that decided that they have heard the word of God and they want to receive salvation. They want God to come into their lives and make a residence there, to live and dwell there. I want you just to repeat this prayer after me and mean it from the bottom of your heart. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to bring God in remembrance of his word. So we are going to pray the word of God. Say this with me. Father, it is written in your word. First of all, then, I must admonish. Now, this is what the Lord is saying to us. We must admonish that Jesus is Lord and he's Savior, and that he was the one that died for us, that we may have the chance of eternal life, the opportunity to be redeemed back to the Father as we should have been in the beginning. But it says here, this is what I want you to pray. You say, Father, we bring the lost to the world this day, every man, every woman, every girl. And we're praying this because we're intercessors. So we're bringing these children from here to the farthest corner of the earth before you. We say we are interceding, we are interceding for each and every believer and non-believer that they can make the confession and have the opportunity to have Jesus their Lord. And how you confess? You confess by saying, Father God, I am sorry. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me that I want to acknowledge that your Son is the Lord and Savior of all of us, which is Jesus Christ. But he's our Lord and he's our Savior. And he's a Savior not just of me, but of everyone else who is willing to confess. So, Father, it is written in your word that if I confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. Now, this is Jesus. He's been raised from the dead for you. I shall be saved. Therefore, Father, I confess that Jesus is my Lord. I make him Lord of my life right now. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I renounce my past life with Satan. And now you ought to say, listen, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I accept him. Because I have renounced Satan and all of his ways. You say that Jesus is my Lord, and I am a new creation. All things, all of them are passed away. And the Bible says, and now all things have become new. Now all things. Meaning from this moment on, they're new. And when things are new, that means you do not go back to your old ways. You don't pick up those old habits. Because why? Your mind is renewed. Now, those that are already saved and they prayed this prayer, they're interceding for you. You that have prayed this prayer, you have asked God to forgive you, and now, you have renounced your sin, and now you are a child of God. So now you can ask God for anything because he said that he hears the call of his people. You can ask him for anything and he will deliver. I also want to pray for those who are saved but have not received the spirit of baptism. That's also important Because if you don't have the spirit of baptism or the Holy Ghost, you need to have that power that's going to be able to defeat the enemy, the voices that the enemy may whisper in your ear, contrary to what the Word of God says. And the prayer that you're going to pray, I'm going to give you referring scriptures that you can look them up. You're going to pray and you're going to say, Heavenly Father, I am your child, for I believe in my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead. It's just like confessing your sins. And I have confessed him as my Lord. So now you confess your sins, you're confessing Jesus as your Lord. Jesus said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. You're asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I step into the fullness and power that I desire in the name of Jesus. I confess that I am spirit-filled Christian. You are a spirit-filled Christian because you can't have one without the other. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Father and you receive the Holy Spirit. But we got to activate that thing. We got to activate the spirit in us that God has given us. So you say here, you say, as I yield my vocal organs, that means your mouth, your tongue, your lungs, your everything that causes speech. I expect to speak in tongues for the Spirit, as the Spirit gives me utterance in the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes people think that the infilling of the Spirit has got to come out perfect. It's got to sound like something has been practiced. That does not happen, especially if God has given you, unbeknownst to you, the gift of tongues. Sometimes a lot of times the gift of tongues not necessarily sound exactly alike. They don't. The wording sometimes are different, and sometimes the accents are different, and the syllables are different. They're stressed differently. My experience has been sometimes I sound like I'm Chinese, and the other times I sound like I'm speaking Hebrew or Yiddish, or sometimes it sounds like I'm speaking Spanish. And because the sound and the words are maybe not comprehensive to you, does not mean that these are not tongues of the Holy Spirit because you don't have the understanding. The other thing is, when you speak in tongues, and God has given you he filled you with the Holy Spirit, you're speaking in tongues, you ought to pray and ask God to give you the interpretation and the understanding of what it is that you've said. So that's what you must do. But what I'd like to do is give you some scriptures. Hopefully you have a pen and a piece of paper, very handy. John 14:16-17. I want you to read up on that. Luke 11:13. Then go to Acts 1:8, part A. Then go to Acts 2:4. Then I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 14:2-15. 1 Corinthians 14:18-27. And then I want you to go to Ephesians 6:18. I want you to read up on those scriptures. And then after you've read up on them, I want you to get down on your knees. Get some oil, some olive oil, anoint yourself. And then you pray the same prayer that I've just given you. My Heavenly Father, I am your child, for I believe in my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and I have confessed him as my Lord. Jesus said, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. That's what you're going to pray. And then you're going to say, now, Father, I receive the indwelling of your Holy Spirit right now. Touch me afresh. Fill me afresh. And you watch and see. If you don't feel the power of God come upon you, and you just start saying, hallelujah, 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 from the very depths of your belly. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Just say hallelujah, hallelujah, and watch and see if that the tongues start coming up, and you'll start speaking in tongues. Now, I want to pray for those that are involved in court cases. We're going to pray for those because there are a lot of people that are stressing because they can't pay their bills and they're being sued. They're losing their home and they're fighting and they're back and forth in court. Some have gotten in trouble, criminal trouble, and maybe their loved ones have gotten in trouble. And as a result, they need help. And so we're going to pray for those that are in trouble. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word to call on you and you will answer me and show me great and mighty things. I put you in remembrance of your word and thank you that you watch over it to perform it. And that's what God said. I say that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And any tongue that rises against me in judgment, I show to be in the wrong. This peace, security, and triumph over opposition is in my inheritance as your child. This is the righteousness which I obtained from you, Father, which I impart to me, or which you impart to me as my justification. I am far from even the thought of destruction, for I shall not fear, and terror shall not come near me. Father, you say you will establish me to the end. Keep me steadfast. Give me strength. And guarantee my vindication. That is to be my warrant against all accusation or indictment. Father, you contend with those who contend with me. Just like God contended with those that contended with Moses, God told Moses, he said, I will fight against those that fight against you. He said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and this secret place hides me from the strife of tongues. For a false witness who breathes out lies is an abomination to you. You pray these prayers, and you ask God, just pray his word, and you ask God, Lord, I need you to fight on my behalf. Because, God, I know that when I come before the magistrate, I won't have to think about what it is that I'm going to say. But, Lord, you will give me what to say. You said that the Holy Ghost will give me what to say. He will word my mouth. And those scriptures you'll find in Jeremiah 33 and 3. Also Jeremiah 1 and 12. Go to Isaiah 54 and 17 and 1 Corinthians 1 and 8. Also go to Matthew 18 and 18, Ephesians 6. Verses 10 and 16. And then go to Luke 2 and 52. Look up those scriptures. Pray those words. And see what God will do for you. I want to tell you something that happened to a young man. Young man was in a court situation. And he wasn't guilty. Actually, the case was thrown out. But what happened is a district attorney decided, well, I want to pursue this further. Kept the man locked up in prison, Sing Sing. Well, the long and short of it is that the man came in to be prayed for. He was prayed for and went back to his seat. Later, I saw on the news that that same young man that was prayed for, after spending 6 years in prison, he was released because he was wrongfully imprisoned. God can work a miracle. He can work a miracle if you want him to and if you believe. I want to tell you of another situation, a young girl in maximum security prison said she wanted to pray, and she came up with all of her papers in her hand, holding them like it was her dear life. She said, I need to have prayer. I need prayer because I need to be home with my family. So I asked the young girl, listen, are you doing the right thing? Are you living right? She said, yes, as best I can. I said, well, then I want you to pray, and I'm going to agree with you. And we're going to pray over these papers that they get into the right hands and that you are free. She said, okay. She began to pray. And I coupled my faith with hers in agreement with her words. Next month I came back. The young girl came up to me and she said, Pastor, she said, I want you to know that I'm going home. To God be the glory. I'm going home, she said. She said, I'm going home to my children. And I said, to God be the glory. She was released, I believe, maybe less than 30 days. God can work miracles. And there are cases after cases that I can tell you of what God will do if you only believe and trust him. Because he's the only one that can get you out and get you free and get you loose and then get back what the enemy has stolen. He'll give it back to you 7 times over. I know what I'm talking about. I want to pray for those who are called mentally challenged. You know, there are some people and some individuals who can't get ahead because they're told that, well, they can't comprehend certain instructions. Or maybe there's a child that has been born with challenges. Or maybe there is an adult or several adults who are having difficulties maneuvering and getting around. Well, we're going to pray this. Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess your word concerning healing. As we do this, we believe and say that your word will not return unto you void, but you will accomplish that it says it will. Therefore, we believe in the name of Jesus that you are healed, whoever you are healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. For it is written in your word that Jesus himself took the infirmities and bore his sicknesses, our disease, everything. He bore that on the cross, Matthew 8:17. Therefore, with great boldness and confidence, we say on the authority of that which is written in the word that God will, whoever these mentally challenged and physically handicapped people are, God, that they are redeemed from the curse of sickness and refuses to tolerate the symptoms of what they are said they have. Now, Satan, we speak to you in the name of Jesus and say that your principalities and powers, your master spirits who rule the present darkness and your spiritual wickedness in heavenly places are bound from operating against God's people, against everyone that has mental challenges, physical challenges, babies that perhaps have Down syndrome. In the name of Jesus, we bind you We cancel your assignment. We command you, Satan, to loose your hold from off these individuals in the name of Jesus. Because, God, these people, Lord, they dwell in your secret place. And, Father God, you are the one that has all power to heal and to deliver in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Father, we claim this healing from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, God, that they're made whole. We loose your healing virtue from heaven in the name of Jesus, touching every cell, every fiber of their being, every ligament, every limb. We ask, God, every thought that they may have, God, we ask, Lord, that you correct it, Father God. We ask, God, that you resurrect their will, Lord, to live and to do and to exist. And to be healthy in the name of Jesus. There's nothing too difficult for you. Because, Lord, you said whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You said whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we declare and we decree that these words that have been prayed over every individual who's called challenged and handicapped and mentally unable to do what is just not even the simplest things, the minutest things, that they from this day forward, God, will be able to do exceeding and abundantly what was ever expected of them to do. In Jesus' name. Now, those that are sick, I want to pray for those that perhaps feel that they can't get well and they don't have the faith. I want to pray for you. And I'm going to just pray and just ask God to touch you from the crown of your head, the soles of your feet, make you every whit whole. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you look upon those that are in the hospital, those that have been diagnosed with certain cancers, those that have been diagnosed with certain blood diseases, blood issues, Father, some that are anemic, some that have high blood, some that just under a strong cloud of depression. I bring these individuals to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you touch them right now. Send your ministering angels to them right now in the name of Jesus, touching them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I speak right now to every condition, every infirmity in the name of Jesus, every suicidal demon right now, I speak to you. I command you in the name of Jesus to loose your hold off these individuals in the name of Jesus. Loose your hold in Jesus' name. I cancel your assignment on them in Jesus' name. I take authority over you. I send you back to your Father, a defeated foe, with your mission unaccomplished. Oh, yes. And your assignment canceled. I render you helpless in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, you said, shall be loosed in heaven. And we loose your healing virtue. We loose the ministering angels to visit each and every sick person across the globe tonight in Jesus' name. God, I ask, Lord, that as they move around, as they get up out of their wheelchair, as they decide to take a step of faith, God, that they will be able to do what they weren't able to do before. That, Lord, the strength, the hope to live, the desire of life to thrive in them, God, that they, Father God, will put on a new garment, a garment of praise, a garment of healing, a garment of faith in the mighty name of Jesus, and a garment of healing. This is what we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Because, God, I decree it in the name of Jesus that it be so. Now, Lord, I ask, Father God, that you continue to bless each and every one under the sound of my voice, God, and that those, Father, who have heard the preached word, really the teaching lesson and just an example not to give up what your hands have brought and to put you first in all things, that, God, they will gain strength, knowledge, research your scriptures, Father God, see where they somehow have been amiss, and, God, come back to you full force, full in faith, and in power and zeal, God, to do your will and to walk your way. In the name of Jesus. And it shall be done. Amen. Now I'd like to take a break for maybe just a minute or two and come back. And then we're going to take some questions and or some prayer requests and or even some testimonies. So you're free to call in. Just dial the number 9 or press the button 1. I'm sorry, I said 9, but press the button 1 or the number 1 on your dial, and you'll be live, and you'll be able to give your testimony, your prayer request, or question. May God bless you, and we'll see you in 2 minutes. Thank God we're back. Thank God we're back. And we just want to thank each and every one that has come back to the listening audience. And I'd like to take your questions or your prayer requests if you have.
Amen.
Oh, I guess there's no one calling in at the point, at this point.
No, I don't have any. Our audience are a listening type of audience. You have several thousands of people listening to you at this point, but they really don't ask questions. Praise God.
Oh, I.
Beautiful presentation. Dr. Parker, I'm not sure if she's still there. Dr. Parker, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, I'll just turn it back over to you and, bring music back at the top of the hour if you need it. All right? God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Pastor Ernestine, would you want to go and continue with a preach message or?
Well, what I'm going to do is, what I wanted to do is just give the announcement. And then I think what I probably will do is call it an evening. Is that all right after at 8 o'clock? Or do you think I should go further?
Well, we're going to be on for the next hour and about 20 minutes. So the announcements, you want to go ahead and give the announcements, and then we'll just continue with the Word of God.
Okay, then that's what I'll do. So,
okay.
We end up at, what, 5 minutes to nine or 9 o'clock?
Five off.
Okay, then. All right, so then I'll go back to the, I'll go to the announcement, and then I'll go back to testimonies, probably maybe something that God has done concerning the lives of those that we have ministered to.
Amen.
Or do you think I should just read out of Scripture?
No, ma'am. Go right ahead, because we're live. Go right ahead.
All right, then that's what I'll do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to do that now. Well, I thank God for everyone that is here today, listening in. I, again, am Pastor Ernestine Garings of Guiding Light Interdenominational Church Incorporated. We're here in Naperville, Illinois. That's where our headquarters are. And just wanted to give you a few announcements that next week, Thursday, same time, same station, if the Lord tarries, we'd like to conduct communion service. So those that would like to join us in having communion, we'd like to ask you to gather your grape juice and your matzah crackers, if you use matzah, or your challah, or whatever kinds of bread that you take as representative of the Lord's body. But certainly get your grape juice. And we're going to have communion together. I generally say the communion, the blessing, in Hebrew, and then I translate it into English. So those that are Jewish, we can and are born again Christians, we can have communion together, and I'll say the prayer in your language, and then I will translate or interpret in English for those that speak English. So I'm looking forward to having communion with each and everyone that is listening. It's going to really be exciting. And if you have testimonies that you'd like to share, certainly you can forward those testimonies to Dr. Parker, and her email address is Derek Lynn, DerickLynn, Parker, at bhw1.com. Also, I have been asked questions about the ministry, Guiding Light, Interdenominational Church, and where the church is and how they can get involved. And some people want to become ministers. Some people want to become licensed and ordained. They want to have training. And what the Lord put upon my heart today was that if you are called into a ministry, that maybe God has given you an assignment to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, I want you to take down this information if you would like to know more about our training and our teaching and our equipping those to go out and preach the gospel to the nations. And if you're looking to come up under a viable and anointed ministry, like Guiding Light Interdenominational Church Incorporated, please contact Dr. Derek Lynn Parker. Give her your information, and she'll talk with you or email you and let you know what the qualifications are and what's expected. And as she teaches and instructs and encourages you and equips you with the Word of God, you'll be so ready, so anointed, so filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Word of God, that when you speak the Word of God that you preach into the hearts of those that are listening and receive it, their lives will be transformed. We've had testimonies, countless testimonies, of many ministers who have told us about their ministry, and even those ministers under Guiding Light, of the different souls and hearts and conditions of the people that they have ministered to, whose lives have been changed, whose bodies have been healed, whose cancers have disappeared, whose mind has come back to its sane and conscious abilities and functions through the Word of God, through the priest's message, through prayer, and through understanding what the Word of God says they are and who they are in Him. So, with that said, you'll be trained, you'll be instructed in the Word of God, you'll be able to identify what your spiritual gifts are, so that you'll know what they are. And then you'll be able to identify spiritual gifts in others, equipping them, teaching them the Word of God. And then you will ordain you, and you'll start out in your ministry, which God has called you to operate in. So do give us a call. We can set up times, meeting places, classes, and then actually having you prepare your message, your first message. It's a wonderful, wonderful teaching. It's a wonderful time that you'll have in the training. It's not laborious. It's just really operating in your calling, which really will come natural. It'll come natural. So those that are interested, please again contact Derek Lynn Parker at bhw1.com. Amen to that. And so what I want to talk to you about today is just some testimonies of what God has done for the many people that we have prayed for through this ministry, Pastor Parker and Dr. Derek Lynn Parker, and the other ministers as we went to South Africa. God blessed supernaturally there. We came there, it was called Assignment South Africa. And we went there just to show people the God in us. To let them see God in us. Some people will never read the Bible, but they'll read you and they'll read your actions. And they'll know whether or not you're real or sincere in what you're doing. They'll know whether or not you're playing a game or whether you're there for show, promoting self. But we thank God that trip was wonderful. The people there received and enjoyed the word of God each night for 11 nights, preaching and teaching and praising God. And the sick were healed, miraculously healed. One young girl had a tumor, was diagnosed with tumor in the brain. One of them manifested itself, I believe it was outside the skull and under the skin of the head, and prayed the prayer of faith. And God instantaneously delivered and healed that girl. She went back to her mother and said, "Mommy, Mommy, feel, the tumor's gone, the tumor's gone." There was no tumor. We thank God. She came with a tumor and left without one. To God be the glory. Only God can do a thing like that. Only Him. We thank God and we praise God. One young girl saw that she was limping, and I was saying, "What's wrong with her? What's wrong with your foot? What's wrong?" And she said she had walked a long distance on a dirty dirt road. It was dusty. And she said it was hot. And she said that there was no one there to pick her up, so she had to walk that long, rocky road. And she said when she got to where she was going, she sat down and she said she looked at her, the heel of her foot, and it had swelled. Well, I looked down at her foot and I saw the heel. It looked as though she had two heels side by side on the one foot. And so the prayer of faith was prayed over that foot, over the heel, the swelling and everything. And instantaneously, the Lord drew that fluid or whatever it was that caused her heel to look like it was double. He shrank it. To God be the glory. Why am I telling you this? Telling you this to build up your faith. Without it, the Bible says it is impossible to please Him. You must please God in believing what He said He will do. He said that He sent His word and it healed the sick. He sent Jesus. He healed the sick. He sent the word that He left here in us, leaving the Holy Spirit behind, causing the Holy Spirit to bring us in remembrance of what Jesus said in the word that His Father will do. All you have to do is pray. That's the key. That's the key to the kingdom. Prayer gives you the authority to receive and to refuse. You can reject those things that do not line up with the word of God. And you can receive those things that God said you should have. You have to know where you stand in Him. You have to know what you can do in Him. The Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." All things, not just some things, all things. I want to tell you a situation. I'm a little woman. I'm a petite, very petite. I'm between a zero and, double zero and a zero. And so it turns out that one day I had to move a dresser from one room to the next and then outdoors to break up. The dresser was very heavy, and I couldn't get any help. I could not get any help. So I said, now, Holy Ghost, you're going to have to help me, and you're going to have to tell me what to do. So the Holy Spirit said, take some socks and put it under each of the legs of that dresser, because the dresser was solid wood. I think it was oak. He said, put socks underneath it and then slide it from the bedroom to the family room or into the kitchen, into the family room, and then tilt it. So I said, okay, but before you tilt it, put a quilted blanket on the floor outside the door on the deck so that when you tilt the dresser out the door and slide your body alongside of the back of the dresser, you'll be able to hold the dresser at one of the four corners so that it doesn't put a hole in the wood deck. And I said, okay. So I maneuvered myself behind the dresser as I tilted it. And then I got in front of the dresser, and I pulled by the corner. And the dresser was so heavy, top heavy, that it did fall, but that blanket cushioned the fall, cushioned the impact. And then the Lord said, now come behind the dresser, back into the house, and push the dresser out. And that's what I did. I took those legs and I pushed it out onto the deck. Then the Lord said, now go get those two wooden planks that are behind the garage and put them across the stairs going down. I said, okay, and that's what I did. He said, now lift the dresser up, but be careful that you move out of the way so that the dresser doesn't fall on you when you slide it down those planks. So I said, okay. I got in front of the dresser, just put it ever so slightly on top of those two wooden planks. Oh, actually, it was one big plank. It was one big wide plank. Put it on the steps and then pushed the dresser, got to the back, pushed the dresser onto that wooden plank, and it slid down those five steps and broke. Broke in pieces. So I didn't need the sledgehammer to break up the walls or the sides or the legs of the dresser because the impact of the fall broke the dresser in pieces. And I said, oh, God, I thank you. So all I had to do was gather the pieces, and there were two big wooden planks the size of the dresser that I was able to bundle together, take piece by piece because it was heavy, and put it outside for the trash men to come and get it the next day. And so I was asked, oh, who helped you move the dresser and break it up? I said, the Holy Spirit. And, of course, I had to laugh because it was virtually impossible for a little person like me to break up a heavy oak dresser like that. But when you don't have any help, God will send you help. And the Holy Spirit is a servant. He's here to serve. So don't try to do his job. Don't try to do things by yourself. The Holy Spirit is your helper. And he will cause you to do what needs to be done and do a good job at it. That you'll say to yourself, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I want you to know that I have a son, a younger son, who was, at birth, he had a heart condition. And we found out about it later when he was in his teens. And always wanted to know why he would always get out of breath and why he would just be so exhausted, only to find out that he had this condition, which allowed the heart to grow and keep growing until it just grows, I guess, just so large that it ultimately collapses the valves of the heart and you can die suddenly. Well, the long and short of it is that I was told when he was a teen that there was no operation for it and that, you know, he just has to be very careful. He can't play certain sports. He can't be in the heat, this and that. And so the cardiologist said, yes, you've got to be very careful with him. And I said, yes. I said, you know, but I believe. She said, I'm trying to tell you that he could die. I said, yes, I know what you're saying. I said, but I believe in a higher power. I believe in God, and I believe that he's able to do all things and that God will not allow that to happen to my son. That's how I believed, because that's where my faith was. Well, my son grew to be 30, and he had a heart attack, and he passed out. He was not at home. And I thank God that his friend called 911, and they came to get him. They were taking him to the closest hospital, the nearest hospital that had cardiac care. While in the ambulance, the paramedic said, you know what? Let's not go to that hospital because they don't have a good cardiac care unit. Let's reroute the ambulance and let's take him to thus and so. They rerouted the ambulance, took him to thus and so, and God appointed a cardiologist that was familiar with this particular heart situation. He was on call, an older doctor, very seasoned. He took my son and he stabilized him. We were called, we went down, and I looked at my son, and I said, don't worry about it, everything is going to be all right. I didn't know what God was going to do, but I know that God gave me him, and I know that he was put here longer than 30, he was going to be here longer than 30 years. He was going to live out a full life. And so I said to him, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. He said, okay. Well, the doctor gave him a list of three doctors. And he said, you need to see these cardiologists right away because you need surgery. And they're going to have to cut out part of your heart. Well, we interviewed the three surgeons. My son came away with, because ultimately it was his decision, this one particular doctor. And I believe the surgery was, I think, in excess of $80,000, if not more than that. I'm sure it's probably more than that. But anyway, everything was taken care of. Everything was taken care of. All my son had to do was show up. And this doctor was very familiar with this operation. He had done, I think he said, hundreds of them. And he said, there was a lot of your son's heart that we had to cut out. He said, but once I finish, he's going to be like a new man, a new man. And I thank God that my son had the operation and he can play sports. He can run, play soccer. Now, he's 30 or 31, and he just had the operation, I don't even think, 2.5 years ago. It wasn't 2.5 years ago. He had it maybe a little over 18 months. And he is healthy. Now, why am I telling you this? Although when the doctor told me that there was no operation, he was, I don't know, 14, 15, he said there was no operation, he just got to suffer through it. The Lord sustained him for the years that these doctors needed to perfect this particular surgery to keep my son alive and his heart healthy. God enabled every one of those doctors and nurses to handle him not only with kid gloves, but as if he was someone royal, special. God will do the same for you. He'll do the same for your children. He is not a respected person. He'll do the same for you as he has done for anyone else that believes, trusts, and operates in that faith. Nothing is too difficult for God. Many of you say, well, I don't have enough faith. All you have to do is believe that God is able to do it. He said he is. You don't have to do any work. Just receive what it is God said he can do. He can do all things. There's nothing too difficult for him. I want you to start believing. Start trusting that God will give you what he said he'll give you. He'll do what he said he'll do. Those that are trusting God for mates, I decree and I declare in the name of Jesus, for some of you before the year is out, God will bless you with a husband. God will bless you with a man after his own heart. You women that are looking for husbands, wives, men, you're looking for wives, make sure you treat them good. God is going to give you the best, but you cannot mistreat what God has blessed you with. Don't do that. But I decree and declare that you men, you will have wives this year. Just walk upright. Keep yourself looking good and neat. Women, keep yourself looking pretty. Keep yourself well-dressed and neat. Answer in complete sentences. Carry yourself in a desirable way. The same with you men. And watch and see if God does not draw your wife, your husband, like a magnet. Some of you, this will be the last Thanksgiving you will ever have to spend alone. The last Christmas that you'll ever have to spend alone, not exchanging gifts with your loved one. The last New Year's coming in to 2014 that you'll spend alone. God will give you a man, a woman after his own heart. He will do that. I want you that are looking for jobs because you lost your job and you can't make ends meet or whatever. I'm 61 years old, retired, semi-retired. And I said, God, now I don't know what to do. Aside from preaching, aside from ministering, I still have time. I said, now, I think I, since I shop at a particular store, I said, Lord, I'd like to work there. I don't want to work a lot of hours, and I don't want to work a lot of days, but I'd like to at least get the discount. And so I prayed for this particular job. And I said, now, Lord, what should I do? So I happened to go into that particular store. And I said to the young girl, I said, you know, I'm in here so often. I said, you know, you all should hire me. And she said, you know, you should think about filling out an application. You can fill it out now. She said, because we always hire. I said, you think so? She said, yes. She gave me the application. I filled it out. Then she said, now, will you wait? Because we have a freeze. But the freeze will come off in, I think she said, 2 or 3 months, whatever it was. I said, okay. I said, that'll give me time to go visit. That's what I did. I went visiting. When about the 3 months was up, I said, now, Father God, I should have got that call. I should have got that call already. In the name of Jesus. God, I don't know what it is that's hindering this call, but I'm asking to release it right now in Jesus' name. And I said, call. I said, job, come to me right now. In the name of Jesus, you're mine. And I said, now I'm going out and I'm going for a walk and I am going to jog or whatever it was that I was doing for an hour. I left, I came back in, I saw that I had a call on my answering machine. Who was it? It was the manager of the job that I worked. I was hired. Named the salary that I wanted, God blessed me. And now I am, if not the top, I'm one of the top sales ladies in that little store. To God be the glory. God be the honor. And I give them all the praise. Do you think that my assignment is just to get the discount? No. My assignment is to minister to those that come through those doors. Because there are a lot of women that are hurting. A lot of women that are battered and abused and don't know what to do, don't know how to get out of the situation, don't know if they should stay. There are women that have all kinds of issues, sicknesses, and diseases that come through that door. And God allows me to service them, put their apparels together, and pray for them. And they bring their teenage children as well, their daughters. And what? I pray for them. And if they don't buy anything, they say, coming in here and being prayed for is well worth the trip. But they always leave with something. I want to admonish each one of you. Those that are without employment, we're going to pray right now. The same prayer I prayed for myself, you do the same. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am asking you, everyone that is looking for a job, looking for employment, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask God that jobs open up, not just one, but three, that they can choose from in the mighty name of Jesus. Whether it's a VIP executive position, or whether it's just maintenance, Father God, whatever the gamut runs, we ask, Father, that these individuals be employed during this week, during next week, during the Christmas holidays, coming the 2014, the coming year, God, that they are promised a position and that promise holds fast for them in Jesus' name. God, I ask that you cause them to make more than just minimum wage, but God, enough, God, to have to put away for reserve in Jesus' name. I decree and I declare that everyone that sets their heart and mind and soul and mission to go out to seek for a job on tomorrow, that they get and secure that position. In Jesus' name I pray. God, give them divine favor with the hiring manager. Give them divine favor with those that have anything to do with making decisions of who's going and who's staying. In Jesus' name. Father God, I ask those that are looking to the door that's supposed to be closed in their face because they're experiencing cutbacks in their jobs. I ask, God, that you keep your people employed in the name of Jesus. Unemployment is a weapon, Father God. And you said no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. You said that a man, if he doesn't work, God, that he should not eat. And God, your servants, your people want to work. And they want to eat. And they want to be able to have a roof over their head, clothes on their body, and food in the refrigerator. Heat in the home. You're able to do all that in Jesus' name for your people. And so we're asking God to do just that. We're bringing you in remembrance of your word, God. You said whatever we ask in your name, that you'll do it. And so, Father God, we're asking. God, we even thank you, Lord, for those right now. I just feel that there's someone that is listening or some people that are listening that have just regained their faith. And it's like they have breathed in a breath, a fresh breath of air. It's like the weight of whatever it is that they were carrying has been lifted. We thank you, God, for that. in the name of Jesus. And there's someone by the name of Nelson. I don't know who you are. But God said not to worry about that attack. Don't worry about it. He said, yes, it was meant to scare you, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He said just to trust in him. Trust in him and lean on him. He said that he is your shield and your buckler. Oh, Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. There's someone named Mary. Mary, and your last name begins with an MC. God is just saying, trust him for your children. It seems to be there's two of them, boy and a girl. Just trust him for your children, that they'll be okay. No harm will come to them. No matter what the doctors have said, no harm. They seem to be fraternal twins. No harm will come to them. Just trust him. We thank God and we praise him. There's a young man named Hezekiah. He wanted to become a hip-hop artist. And God says, if that's not where your talent is, your talent is in the gospel. It's singing gospel, not hip-hop, in order to make wealth or to make yourself wealthy and to buy the things that you see other people that are in that field. God said that I will bless you, and I'll bless you greater. Your blessings will be greater than those that are hip-hop artists. He said, if you just trust me, and if you just do what I say, your name is Hezekiah. I don't know. You're young. You seem to be about 17, 18 years old. Trust God. Lean on him, and God will give you your heart's desire, and it won't be hard. You won't have to come. You won't have to come up through the ranks like everyone else. God will bring you front and center. So you trust him. God, we just thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. There's someone named Jewel. Your name is Jewel. And your mother and father named you that because when you were conceived, you were precious. And your mother just loved you, and she would just rub her tummy, and she would talk to you all the time while you were in her womb. I just want you to know, you may feel that you're not loved right now, but you are loved, and you're loved deeply. And you're loved by your mother. Your mother has passed, yes, but your mother loved you. And she loved you when, as she was dying, she loved you. She loved you when she conceived you. She loved you when she nurtured you. She loved you when she brought you up. But then she passed away. A mother's love never dies. And I want you to know that there is a God that sticketh closer to a brother, a sister, a mother, a father. He will stand with you and by you and alongside of you. You're not alone. So the situation that you're in a very, very bad and a very compromising position. Get out of it because the door is open. Get out of it now and see what God will do for you. He'll turn you around. He'll lift you up. And he'll put your feet on a solid foundation. Your name is Jewel. Trust him. Just trust him. Get out of the situation. You can. The door is open. And watch and see what God will do. We thank you, Father God. And we praise you, God, for your loving kindness, your tender mercy. We thank you, God, because you're an understanding God and you're a good God. And God, the reason that you have held back danger from a lot of us while we were doing the things that we wanted to do, you held back danger just so that we have the opportunity and take the advantage and go through that open door that you have availed for us, to us, to escape harm's way, to escape the harm and destruction of the enemy. You've moved us out of harm's way, God. So we have escaped that appointment. And we want to thank you, Father. We want to praise you and we want to give you glory. We want to give you honor. And God, we know that you have said that we are the apple of your eye. And God, you will always keep us. You will always protect us because your eyes are on us. Everywhere we go, everything we do is not hidden from your eyes. And so we thank you and we praise you for that, God. We give you glory. Father God, we even ask you to look upon those that have the power and the authority to teach young kids. These teachers, God, these instructors, Father God, those young girls that have promised, God, they have desires, they have hopes and dreams. But there are some teachers that don't understand them, don't understand how they're raised or how they were raised, God. And God, sometimes they mistake their confidence as being cocky. Please, God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you teach these teachers and instruct them, God, to be tender and kind and merciful and understanding to these young kids who have promised, Lord, so that they don't become discouraged because they've been scolded or because their homework assignment was not written the way the teacher wanted it specifically, but yet everything is right. Father God, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus to return in the name of Jesus these young kids to a place, God, where they God will not only be educated by good teachers but encouraged and then advance in their studies. We pray a special prayer of protection over them, God, as they go to and fro, God, from their homes to the schools and back, God, that, Lord, no danger, no hurt, no harm, God, will come nigh them in the name of Jesus. God, we look to you to build a hedge of protection around them, that, God, they will not one stray bullet will come in their direction. In Jesus' name, as they go through the hallways of the buildings or the alleyways where they must travel in order to get to where they live, God, we ask, God, that you send searching angels, arming angels that search the grounds, God, that will protect them, each and every child, from hurt, harm, and danger, from a predator, God, that would want to do that child harm. We ask, God, that you protect them. Send those ministering angels searching out the place, God, of different hierarchies in different areas, different circumstances, different elements that kids would have to deal with, Father. We ask that you send these angels, God, to protect them and make the path clear. That's what we ask, God. God, we ask that you give each and every child a good future, Father. Give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding, God, that to read the scriptures, to read the word of God, will open many doors for them as they apply what's written in your word. Father God, we ask those that those children that don't have mothers. For whatever reason, their mothers are not around. We ask, Father God, that you put them in the right environment where they can grow, where they can receive that mother's love, that mother's nurturing, God, so that they can grow up healthy, God, missing and lacking nothing in the mighty name of Jesus. This is our prayer, God. We intercede for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we even pray for those spouses, God, who want you in the center of their marriage. They want a harmonious relationship and marriage, not just with each other, but with you, Father. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that you bless them to be able to communicate with one another in such words, God, that it's endearing and loving, compassionate and passionate, Father. Sweetly given, sweetly received, God, so that the love, God, will continue to ignite and be fresh. Each time they speak, each time they touch each other, each time they hold hands, God, when they lie down at night, when they get up in the morning, God, the embracing of each other, God, is so affectionate, Father God, that your love and your presence flows through them from heart to heart, breast to breast, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring the word of God to each and every one of them as they read it and give it, Father, that word resounds in their hearts and their spirits as they leave the home, that, Father God, they'll take not only the word but the love of their spouses with them in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we bless you and we praise you, God. We give you glory. There's nothing too difficult for you. And that's why we can praise you and we can exalt you and we can lift you up and we give you praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. You know, I was just thinking just how God has really blessed many of the people that have either asked for prayer or have read the Word of God and have been instructed on what they need to do to stay in the Word of God and to not be sidetracked. And God has opened the doors for many people who have decided that they were not going to be jealous of other people who perhaps were gaining ground faster than they were. So we're not to look to the left or the right. We're just to look to him. Look to the hill, which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And the testimonies that people have given are sometimes almost, as the world would say, it's unbelievable. But because we deal with a supernatural God, we don't expect the world to believe what they say is unbelievable. The fact still remains that they're living proof of what God can do. And so I want to say to you, some of you will be going through tests and trials, but you're going to come out. When you come out, if you stay and abide in him, abide in the word, because the Bible says if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in the word, don't get sidetracked. Don't get discouraged, but stay in the word. That which God has put upon your heart to ask him for, he'll manifest that thing. The quicker you believe it, the quicker you receive it. That's what you have to do. And the testimony of jobs opening up. I can tell you a host of what has happened with my family, with my sons. Job after job after job after job that they have received. And job after job after job after job they did not receive. And the reason is God had a job specifically for them. Even though they decided, oh, well, I really want this, I really want, that was not the position that God wanted. And thank God, because had they taken some of the positions that they had been praying and asking God for and they got upset because they didn't get it, the people are leaving those positions, either because there's no work or because they're fired or because they don't like the boss or all three. And so I thank God that he has positioned his people in the right jobs, the right time, in the right place, so that they're working for whomever they're working for. It's not laborious. It's not a dread to report, to work, operating in your assignment. And God gives you peace where he sends you. So I want to admonish you. Don't think about, well, I've never done this before. It is a job, yes, but I've never done it. I have no training. But I'll just take it. God will put you in positions that normally you would have to have a degree. God will override that, put you in a place and in a position where he will give you divine favor, and people will just, your employer will just overlook that because you have what they need. I hear testimonies all the time about these issues, these circumstances, these conditions. And if you just believe in God and trust him and go out, look for employment, go out tomorrow, get dressed up. If you say you want $25 an hour, look like you deserve $25 an hour. When you interview and pretend as though that person that you're interviewing with, who's professional, is your best friend, and you're responding in a professional manner. You'll get that job. You'll get it because it's yours, because you asked for it, and because it is assigned to you, because God wants you there for a reason. And that is, yes, okay, yes, it is to make money. But more importantly, it's to be a minister to souls. This is not to say that you get on the job and you start preaching. That's not what I'm saying. People will read you like they read a book. Just live saved. Just act saved. Just conduct yourself in a Christian-like manner. Don't turn your nose up, but answer in a nice, soft tone. If there's certain things that you don't consign to because it compromises your salvation, then you just explain, well, you know, it's just a compromise to my salvation and my religious belief. And so if you don't mind, I would just have to decline on the invitation. Just say it very nicely. They'll understand, and they'll move on. So don't worry about the assignment that where God has placed you. He's placed you there for a reason. And that is to be a shining example, a lamp, a light for those to follow. I thank God that those that need transportation, God is going to bless you with vehicles. Those that need it, vehicles where you can get back and forth to work. Just hold on. Don't be discouraged. Some of you need to just go down to the dealership and talk to the dealer and let him know your situation and say, now, I know that I can pay this amount. Is there something, some sort of plan we can work out? They'll work out a plan for you because you have divine favor. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong thing, for the wrong purpose. So when you ask, ask knowing that if you, when you get your car, if someone needs a ride and you're going in that direction, be a Christian and offer that person a ride. Take that person to where they need to go. Many times I have taken people out of my way to where they needed to go, drop them home, and then have to drive maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours back to where I need to go or where I live. But they'll never forget that because they'll know that I'm a Christian by the love that I've shown them that their loved ones wouldn't even do for them. This is what being Christ-like is all about, giving of yourself. And when you give of yourself, God will work things out where people will start giving to you. You've been helping people, taking people various places in your car or giving them money for transportation. Don't you know that God has seen that and God is not going to allow that kindness to go unrewarded? Oh, no. That's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a good God that will give you whatever it is you need, whatever it is. And God will bless you abundantly. So not just getting a car and getting gas money and getting a good place to work and nice place to live, but God will give you fine clothing. God will give you good friends. God will allow you to take vacations when it's needed and when you'd like to take vacations to exotic places. All things are in perspective, but he'll do those things. I wanted to go to Israel, and I waited and I waited. I waited over 32 years to go to Israel. And I said, God, I want to go. And a man came up to me and said, you know, I'd like to send you to Israel. I'd like for you and whoever you want to take with you to go. And the trip is paid for. All you have to do is show up. He said, now you pray about it and then let me know. I said, I don't have to pray about it. I said, I've been praying for years. I said, the answer is yes. Here's my information. Went to Israel. Took my daughter with me, Dr. Parker. And we had a wonderful time. A wonderful time in the Lord. Seeing where Christ grew up. In the tomb where he was buried, wading in the water, basking in the Dead Sea, floating, may as well say, beautiful. Saw the Colosseum where the Jews and the Christians were slaughtered. It was a very enlightening trip. I tell you about this trip because I desired it. And the Lord said that if we walk uprightly before him, this is what he said, that he would give us the desires of our heart. He's just asking you to walk uprightly before him, that's all. That's not hard. You just do what he says do. You listen and you do. And when you listen to the word of God, you do what the word of God says, it has to bring results. The word of God does not come back void. It comes back with a response and something tangible that you can feel and sometimes see. The rewards are great. I would not trade in my salvation for anything, for anyone, because it's great. The road is not going to be easy. Walking this Christian life, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. And Jesus didn't say it would be. But he did say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, though I'm with you always, even until the very end of the age. He's with you. He's with you right now. He sees what you're doing. He knows what your heart is feeling. He knows the tears that you cried, you shed. All your tears have been collected into a vial. God sees these tears. He knows your heart. Just give everything to him. Give it to him. Turn it over to him. And see what he'll do with it. He won't betray you with your feelings and blab to someone about the confidence that you have entrusted in him. Mm-mm. He won't do that. He's not a friend that will betray you. He's a friend that sticks very close, closer than a brother, closer than a sister, more loving than a mother or father. I know what I'm talking about. God is able to do all things, even the most impossible things. He's able to do. All you have to do is trust him. If you trust him, he'll come through for you all the time. All the time. And you say, well, it's hard to trust him. I can't even see him. You don't have to see him. Just believe. Believe that he is. And if you believe that he is what you ask of him, he'll give it to you. As a matter of fact, it's already yours. All you have to do is receive it. And what I mean by it's already yours, you know how sometimes you can just think something, think I want something, or just think about something, and it's a deep thought for maybe just a short second. All of a sudden somebody pops up and says, you know what, I have this thing, and I've been carrying this thing around for I don't know how long, but, you know, something said to me, just give this to you. So I'm going to give it to you. I had it for a long time. But I'm going to give it to you. It's already yours. Whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you're thinking of, I'm going to tell you something. I wanted for many years a particular sports car. I wanted this car. I saw myself in it. I saw the color of the car that I was in. And so it turned out that the car that I had went on the blinks after I put so many $1,000s in it to, you know, have it serviced each year and so forth. And I couldn't sell the car because nobody was going to buy it, but it was in good condition, just the transmission went. Had no dents. It was a convertible. Luxury car. It was an Audi. Well, the long and short of it, the car went on the blinks. And I said, oh, God, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I had to donate the car because seemed like nobody would buy it. Well, I donated the car. They sold that car for $6,000. So I guess the Lord wanted me to put all the money into the car so that it can be a blessing to somebody else, because I donated the car to children that whose parents have, it's parents whose children are, I don't know if they're divorced or whatever, but they need vehicles. And so with that said, God blessed me to go down to the dealership and look at the car that I wanted. I saw the car, negotiate the price. I negotiated the price and walked out of that dealership with the car paid for in full. I have no payments on that car. No payments, and it is a luxury car. Actually, it's a step up from the Audi. So to God be the glory. God be the honor and the praise. I never knew about purchasing cars. Didn't know what to do with the car. Didn't even know how to negotiate, but the Holy Spirit gave me exactly what to say, when to say, how to say, and get the car. And I'm driving that car today. It's a beautiful convertible. Now, I said that to say this. Whatever it is that you feel that you are inadequate in, wherever that, whatever that situation is, God will make you able to negotiate anything you want with the knowledge of one that is savvy or experienced in negotiating. He'll make you so knowledgeable that the person that you are discussing price with will agree with the numbers that you ask for. I know what I'm talking about. This is God. This is God. So God is able to do all things. All you have to do is just sin. All you have to do is act on what it is that he has said you to do. I hope you've enjoyed these short testimonies and praise reports. I don't tell these testimonies to say I, or me, or look at me. That's not what these testimonies are. I had to go through some tests in order to have this testimony to give to you, to encourage you to do the same. And my prayer is that God, as I have given these testimonies, these praise reports to the listening audience, that you bless them like you blessed me and better in the name of Jesus, that they too will see that you're not a respected person and that what they've asked for, you'll do. Because, God, you've heard their prayer. You're the only God that hears, and you're the only God that answers. And so, Father God, we ask as encouragement, Father, to them. We ask, God, that you bless them like you bless me and better. In Jesus' name. And it shall be done. Amen and amen. I pray that you have enjoyed these testimonies. You've enjoyed the prayers. You've taken those prayers to heart. And that you'll act on the encouragement to go out and seek employment. And that God will bless you and keep you and protect you from danger seen and unseen. And that not only will God bless you, but he'll bless your children and bless and cause everything that you touch that will bring him glory and honor to flourish for his glory, for his praise, that it'll be an encouragement to others who are looking to him to do the same for them. And God is able to do that. He's able to show himself strong and mighty. And that's what God is looking to do. He said in his word that his eyes roam this earth to and fro, looking whom he may show himself strong to. He's a man of his word. He'll never go back on his word. He can't. He can't deny his word. And he can't not respond to his word. He has to respond. Because he is the word. He is what we read. And as we read more of the word of God, we become more like him. You know that phrase, you are what you eat? If you eat the word of God on a regular basis, you'll be more godly. You'll be more God-minded. You'll be more God-oriented and God-centered. And those things that you desire, they will just come. They'll just come. I'm encouraged today. I'm encouraged that God has given me a right now word for a lot of you that are listening. And a lot of you I know are going to act on what was given today. You're going to act on it and you're going to see the results. And you're going to be blessed. And you're going to be a blessing to others. That's the great thing about it. Because when God blesses you, he doesn't bless you for you to keep everything that you've got. He blesses you so that that which you have, you can share. God has blessed me with so many things, and this is another personal testimony, that I have to give some of what he's given me away. And when I give it away, I get blessed with more things. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. These are the reasons why he's given us his promises, so we can act on it, and we can receive the benefits of it. So stay in faith. Stay in your assignment. See your assignment through. Don't be like Samson, seeking his own pleasures, because it was at the end. Those things that he sought was his demise. Love you, and we bless you, and we pray that all things work well with you. I'd love to hear your testimonies. You can email me at GodSentYou1@AOL.com. You can also reach Dr. Parker. Send her your testimony. Send her your desires. If you feel that you want to operate in the ministry, Dr. Derek Lynn Parker and Pastor James Parker, they'll give you the information. Dr. Parker's email is DerekLynnParker@BHW1.com. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And I just want to give you the blessing before we hear the last voice, which would be Dr. Derek Lynn Parker. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee his grace. So I'm asking God to continue to allow his grace to shine upon you. In the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and it shall be done. Amen and amen. Until next week, this is Pastor Ernestine Gary of Guiding Light Interdenominational Church, located here in Naperville, Illinois. Goodbye now. Have a good evening.
Amen, amen. I'm Dr. Parker, and Pastor Gary, I do have a few comments that came in, if I wouldn't mind, before you leave the broadcast. If you can, I interject briefly.
Yes.
From the Christian view, they said that your testimonies were wonderful, and they wanted to say praise the Lord. Also, they also asked for a prayer request for a dear brother in Christ has a heart condition, and his heart is beaten at 50%. I desire that you lift him up in prayer. He is looking for a physician that can address his problem. He is standing in faith for healing, and they said thank you. And you have over 7,656 listeners at this point. And then he continued to say, the Christian view said, may God continue to bless you and your ministry, and you know, have a good day. So I just wanted to address that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, God bless the Christian view. And, yes, we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask God for a miracle. Father God, I ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you touch that young man in Jesus' name. God, he needs surgery, and I'm asking you, God, to assign surgeons capable,
yes,
Lord, that will touch him, God, and operate on his heart. God, like you've given my son a new heart, a new lease on life, God, I ask you to do the same for this young man. In the name of Jesus, God, why? For your glory, for your honor, and for your praise in Jesus' name. God, assign doctors for him in Jesus' name. Lord, if he's got to go to St. John Hospital in Manhattan, cause him to go there in the mighty name of Jesus and seek out a cardiologist, God, that will address his issue, God. And Lord, I ask that you cause the doctor on this young man, and he will be operated on, because I see him up in the name of Jesus. God, I ask, God, that as he's operating on this doctor, that God, your nurses and these physicians, God, to give him the utmost care in Jesus' name for your glory, and it shall be done. Why? Because we declare and we decree and declare it done. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. It's done.
Amen.
It's done in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just thank you and we just praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We thank you, God, for every listener. We thank you for everything, Lord, that was said here today, because it was not said by mistake. It wasn't saying. There's something good, something great for each listener that's going to come out of this broadcast and the future broadcast to come in the mighty name of Jesus, that God's people will declare and decree your word, your promises in the name of Jesus for your glory as an encouragement to others to come and to be drawn to you. In the name of Jesus, you said in your word, with love have I drawn thee. And God, the word is love.
Mm-hmm.
It's healing. The word is deliverance. And it all stems from you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dr. Parker?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, thank you so much for allowing me this time to speak to the listeners. May God bless you and Pastor James Parker. And we look forward to next week, Thursday, where we're going to have communion right after the preach message. We're going to be praying for many of the listeners, and we're just going to have a good time in the Lord. Certainly the Holy Spirit is in this place. He certainly is in the studio, and he certainly is over the airwaves.
Amen.
I want to tell and encourage each one not to lose what God has given them. Don't shuck your assignment. Operate in it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Archbishop, we just thank God for you. We thank God for Pastor Ernestine Garys for such an anointed time that we've had on tonight. And to all of the listeners, she's already prayed the blessings of the Lord over you. And we encourage you, as always, to go with God. And one thing is always for certain, God the Father, God the Son, and God the blessed, loving and guiding Holy Spirit is always with you, beloved. Until next Thursday, go with God, and we'll see you then. For those of you who are getting ready for work around the world, we pray you have a safe and blessed day. For those of you who are getting ready to go to bed, we wish and pray upon you sweet sleep until next Thursday. Take care, beloved.
No, I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on, now just thank him. Just thank him.
Time is a precious gift.